It is Mayo Monday, and we are at Gillette Stadium, and Gerard Mayo will be with us at 9:30 after a long flight home from the West Coast. And tomorrow on this show, it is a Tie Tuesday. Ty Law will join us tomorrow morning, and we'll talk Patriots and other things with Ty Law. And this is Duran. Duran, good morning.
Yes, hi.
Hey.
What if the narrative is that, not that he's not ready, but what if he's just not good?
How would you know? How would you know Drake May isn't good? That's a worse problem.
Why is the entire team saying he's great in practice?
Yeah, why is DeMarcus Covington on Thursday saying that he gets better every single day? That would be awful, but I don't think that can be. Appreciate the call. Thank you. You don't know.
Right. The only way we're going to know is if you play him.
Yeah, you don't know. You saw a little bit. You saw 4 minutes of him in that Jets loss. And, I don't know.
What is he learning from watching Jacoby Brissett?
Not how to throw a pick.
Isn't that what we're telling? So we're being told that he has to learn how to play the position.
Right.
I can tell you this. Drake May should watch Jacoby Brissett off the field. He should learn who Jacoby is, because that is a guy that I want to build around. Jacoby is accountable. He's there. He's tough. He's resilient. Like, not a bad personal thing to say about him at all. But if you're learning how to play quarterback, he's the last person I would watch. He holds onto the ball too long. He feels pressure that's not there. He doesn't feel pressure that is there. He makes bad decisions in the red zone, all over the field. Like, why? What are you possibly learning from him?
And I love when all the experts, whether they're former players or they're NFL insiders, go, well, you don't want to rush him in there. And then I say, well, what's the difference between now and week 14? Well, he'll have more time to learn and understand. Learn and understand the what, like you're saying.
From the sidelines?
Right. It's Courtney. It's I don't know why they say it. Because it makes no sense to me. All I know is that whether or not Drake May is going to be good next year or the year after that, we don't know. But all I know is if you play him now, you're at least going to see whether or not the kid can sink, swim, what he can do.
Well, a lot of them say it. A lot of them disagree with you.
Yeah.
And great time to get to Courtney's lead, I think.
Perfect time. Great segue. Good morning, everybody. Gronk was on Fox Halftime and addressed just that, the fact that fans are calling for Drake May to get in there. Here's what he had to say.
And New England Patriot fans out there, I know what you're saying. Put Drake May in. This offense needs a spark. But I'm telling you, it will be the same old story with Drake May in if he replaces Jacoby Brissett. He'll be getting sacked. The offensive line will be letting guys go through, putting pressure on him. You don't want to ruin his confidence. Wait till at least
week 12.
He'll
beat up on the old guys?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. That's why Jacoby's getting paid.
Oh, man, that's wrong. Yeah.
He got sacked in the Jets game. It's not going to ruin his confidence. That's not why fans are calling. Fans don't think that Drake May is going to go in there and be the next coming of Tom Brady and completely switch over the season. But at least give us something to watch. At least give us something to look forward to see any type of development from a young quarterback that has, we've been told, is our future. That's why fans want that. They're sick of seeing the same thing week in, week out. We want some change, something to look at, something to admire to. That Gronk missed the mark here. We're not calling for Drake May to get in there to start winning games. We're looking for Drake May to get in there so we can see what our future might look like.
I love how he said wait till week 12.
But there's a lot of Wiggy. It's not just Gronk. It's Boomer when he's on with us. It's
me talk football.
It's Rob Ninkovich. That was driving me crazy yesterday. Could somebody get in Gronk's earpiece and tell him it's Brissett, not Brissett? It was driving me nuts.
But picture this, right?
I don't know why it just got in my head. It was bothering me.
It should bother you. He should be able to pronounce the guy's name. I would also say this: Drake May watching Jacoby Brissett would be like an up and coming broadcaster being told by Fox to study Gronk, analyze football. Does that make sense?
Did you see the prank that they pulled on him?
Yeah, so it was good.
Where they were talking about a tight end that wasn't in the league.
I knew that guy wasn't real.
He's a fake it till you make it guy.
Yeah. All right. Courtney, thank you very much. Wiggy, good morning.
All right, good morning. So Am I frustrated with this Patriots team? Yes. Do I still watch the games in agony every Sunday? Yes. Hoping, you know, I never wish injury upon anybody. But every time Jacoby Brissett is slow to get up, I'm like, well, maybe just take a few plays off. Let's see what Drake May can do. I'm waiting for that. But I will tell you this. I know that it doesn't work for an organization. And this is just my opinion. I've been around enough organizations to see it. When the GM and the head coach are not on the same page, when the head coach doesn't look like he has the ability to play the guys he wants to play, hire the coaching staff he wants to hire, which I've never seen that before in my life, there is just, this is a recipe for destruction. And I agree with Chris Curtis on the fact that Robert Kraft is to blame, but I believe he's to blame for elevating Elliott Wolf to a position where Elliott Wolf is basically just leapfrogging what Gerard Mayo wants to do and saying, here's the guys that we're going to put on the offensive coaching staff. And with Drake May, we're not going to rush him because for whatever reason, and maybe I don't know who brought up the point of maybe just, it looked, maybe it was Curtis who said, if he gets hurt, it looks bad on me because I didn't do enough for the offensive line. So he might be like, I'm not going to play him because I didn't do enough for the offensive line and it looks bad. I think this is a recipe for disaster. These two guys are headed for a collision course. Which one's going to be here when it's all said and done after 3 years? I don't know, but I know what. This team is going in the wrong direction, and especially when you have your GM and your coach who don't see eye to eye, your owner better step in and make some changes real quick, or this thing is going to get real ugly real quickly.
All right, Wiggy, thank you very much.
You got it.
I'm going to pivot quick because I want to lighten the mood.
I don't think you've ever pivoted quickly.
I think we need some mood lightening.
I would love it.
Sean, I'm going to need News Cut 4 for this. There is a bit of an irrational fear in the news this morning, and I don't want to alarm you.
Oh.
I don't want to
create, you were lightening the mood.
I don't want to create anxiety for you. But the giant flying Joro spider that was in its web in the back bay has gone missing. And the whereabouts are unknown. Could theoretically be in your car, maybe in the back seat.
We need to call FlexCar.
How did that happen, that it went missing?
That reporters went to find it in its little web over the weekend and unfortunately could not find it.
Gonzo.
So it appears to be flying its giant spidery legs all over the city of Boston now. Could be anywhere. Could be in a vent at your workplace.
It could be could littering be, little eggs everywhere
could,
they
it
go.
Could, it could be laying little giant or tiny, soon-to-be giant Joro spider eggs all over the entire city of
or
Boston.
Positively, a predator could have gotten there, right?
I suppose that's possible. I don't know. But this is UMass Lowell biologist Jessica Garb on WBZ News.
You don't need to be afraid of it. It's not coming after you. It's not going to want to bite you.
Yeah, that's what they say now.
So just be aware if you see the... I don't know what you're supposed to do. I would assume don't try to handle it yourself.
Just kill it.
I don't know if you can. It's giant. I mean,
it's huge.
Flies.
Five-foot webs.
Alert the authorities, I guess, if you see it. Please let the authorities
know. They're saying size of your palms. And, I just want to know how many eggs does a Joro spider, carry? Where do they put them?
Yeah.
How do they make babies?
Right.
Probably a lot of Joro spiders out there.
It's probably spider style, I would
assume. But can a Joro spider mate with a different type of spider?
I have no idea.
And then we have a new species of spider?
I don't know anything about that.
Can we get Shime in a Spider-Man costume and send him into the city?
Yes, we can. Maybe Jackson would be the guy for that.
Oh, that's right.
The look of the Joro spider does look like the spider that bit Toby in Spider-Man.
It does.
It's like neon-y.
All right. Those are our leads this morning. Coming up, we will get to They Said It, a quick back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports from Gillette Stadium. And here is Courtney with what is trending right this hour.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Red Sox end the season with a win, 3-1, the final from Fenway. But no one's talking about that this morning. They're all talking about this.
Hey, Martin Giamatti, who wrote from the green fields of the mind about the game of baseball. It breaks your heart. It is designed to break your heart. The game begins in the spring when everything else begins again. And it blossoms in the summer, filling the afternoons and evenings. And then as soon as the chill rains come, it stops. And it leaves you to face the fall alone. My 42 years here have gone so quickly. But now it's time to say goodbye to Red Sox Nation, at least on a regular basis, and to pass the baton to my good friend, Will Fleming.
I was a sophomore in high school when Joe Castiglione started doing Red Sox games.
Wow.
And I guess good for the Red Sox, if Courtney is correct. Everybody's talking about Joe. Nobody is talking about the fact that they have finished 5 of the last 6 years out of the playoffs.
Yep.
Great. And it's never been easier to get into the playoffs in Major League Baseball. And I feel like I just view the Patriots and the Red Sox in the same light today.
Yeah.
Two organizations that had historic runs of success that didn't understand exactly why they won, have totally changed the way they do business, are perfectly fine with mediocrity, and they've never charged more to see their product.
I thought it was odd that John Henry wasn't there yesterday for Joe.
I thought it was totally on brand. The guy's totally tapped out, checked out.
Yeah.
When he wasn't there for that winter weekend, when he wasn't there at the actual funeral for Larry Lucchino, a guy that more than any exec he's ever worked with enriched John Henry hundreds of millions of dollars. This is what he is. That's who he is.
Yeah.
Well, the Patriots lose to the Niners 30-13 in San Francisco. Jacoby Brissett was sacked 6 times in the loss while completing 19 of 32 passes for 168 yards, an interception, and a touchdown. We did get handed some injuries in this one as well. David Andrews, Kyle Duggar, and Caden Wallace all exited the game and did not return. One positive, if I may, Joe Sly put the Pats on the board with a 63-yard field goal as time expired in the second quarter. That kick set a new record as the longest field goal in franchise history.
We need to do something about field goals. They're getting too easy. Like, you're in field goal range when you cross the 50. I don't know what the answer is, but you notice that? Like, you're the 38-yard line. I was even watching the Louisville Notre Dame game.
Right.
Their kid hit like a 60-yarder.
Yeah. Maybe he could let a defensive player through, and he could just put his hand, like, try to put his hand up in front of the kicker's eyes.
I like it. Or you could moon the kicker.
Yes. Yeah, maybe.
2 NFL games tonight for Monday Night Football. We've got Titans at Dolphins at 7:30 and Seahawks at Lions at 8:15. In college, Georgia fell to Alabama.
They're eating the dogs. They're eating the cats.
Final score 41-34 in Tuscaloosa. That drops Wiggy's Dogs to 5 this week in AP's top 25. And BC had a scary one on Saturday. They pulled it off 21-20 against Western Kentucky without Tom Castellanos. Transfer Grayson James was in for Castellanos. BC is now 4-1 on the season.
And we'll talk to Bill O'Brien, the head coach of Boston College football, on this show on Thursday.
Would have been nice of him to maybe break that news of the injury with us on last Thursday.
Well, probably doesn't want to give the other team an advantage.
Give the Hilltopper some information.
Let them know that they don't have their starting quarterback.
Greg, I would also say, do you think certain radio hosts are reconsidering the note talk about BC?
I got called jumping on the bandwagon when I was tweeting about it on Saturday. And I'm like, there has never been somebody who has been off of a BC bandwagon more than this girl right here.
Wiggy, are you okay with Travis Hunter doing the Heisman pose?
Yeah, because he's a legitimate Heisman candidate. Like, I mean, I don't say what you want about the kid. The kid he dominates on offense. He dominates on defense.
He's like Shohei for college football.
Yeah, and the last guy that we seen kind of do that a little bit.
Gordy Lockbaum?
No, not Gordy Lockbaum, but I would say Charles Woodson, and he won the Heisman, right?
Right, with Michigan.
Yeah.
And he did the pose where famously, and then Musburger goes, hello, Heisman. Yeah.
Because he's not just like, I played with Champ Bailey, and we did that a lot with Champ, played offense and defense.
Who's
and
better, Champ Bailey or Ty Law?
I would say Ty Law is a little bit better because he's a little bit more aggressive and more of a lockdown corner in that sense where, you know, Champ's just, they're both talented, but if I had to give the edge to one. But the thing with Travis Hunter is he's excelling real well as a wide receiver. I don't personally think he's a wide receiver. I think he's a corner because his skill set, like when you see him, he just looks smooth. He's more of like an athletic wide receiver. I don't ask him to run like this whole route tree, but yeah, man. Who would you say right now in college football would be better than him to win the Heisman? I don't think you could find a guy.
Jalen Milroe?
Yeah.
If
they go undefeated.
Yeah, if they go undefeated, I think it's gonna. Then what's going to happen is people are going to look at his passing numbers. Does he dominate passing numbers-wise to be able to say, okay, he's warrant the Heisman? And then if Colorado continues to win and their best player is Travis Hunter, seems like on offense and defense. So, it'd be interesting, bro.
All right, Courtney, thank you.
You're very welcome.
All right, Curtis has the weather.
Yes, 53 degrees, cloudy skies in Boston. Afternoon high of 70.
All right, it is a Patriots Monday, and we are going to get to They Said It next, a quick back and forth on what they said over the weekend in sports. And then Boomer Esiason will join us at 8. And Gerard Mayo, the head coach of the New England Patriots, will be with us here at Gillette at 9:30. It is Mayo Monday, and we are at Gillette Stadium awaiting the head coach of the New England Patriots, Gerard Mayo, who will be with us at 9:30. He said post-game that he was planning on watching the film the whole way back. Jacoby Brissett is the starter for this football team at the moment, or however he said it again. I mean, he throws that disclaimer in there at the end every time he says it. And I, during the break, Texter was like, what are you angry about? You knew they were going to lose this game. Yes, I suspected they would lose this game to the 49ers. I did not expect that they would look that horrific. Did you? I thought they'd be in that football game.
I don't know how you have a beating heart and are not enraged by what you saw. It was offensive. There's no other way. I mean, there's literally no other way to put it. You watched that game, and it was an insult to your time and to your fandom that is the product that you were forced to watch. The problems on that team were entirely predictable. Were entirely part of the off-season problem.
Meaning the offensive line.
It was.
Meaning that was apparent to you.
Of course.
In March. Well, or whatever.
You entered the off-season, right? And it was clear, you know, for whatever reason, the coach and the organization parted ways, fine. The team needed a massive upgrade on the offensive line and at the skill positions on offense. They failed entirely in that quest. And I don't care what the excuses are, because the Patriots didn't make them when they're winning. I don't want to hear them when they're losing.
Yeah.
And I just watched that yesterday, and it was the fumble by Ramondre Stevenson, the pick six by Jacoby Brissett, the total inability for anybody on that offense to have any electricity whatsoever. It was like watching a stagnant JV team.
Does it change the way in which you put it all on Bill Belichick last season?
No, it's the exact same as they were last year.
Yeah, but we have a new head coach, so how can it be all on Bill last season?
How could it be? Bill Belichick did the exact same with this team.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, devil's advocate, because when we started this season, you were like, everybody who told me that it wasn't Bill, look at it, look at you now. You just won week one, and look at how they're playing for Gerard Mayo. They didn't really look like they were playing for a coach.
Week right. one, Bill Belichick couldn't elevate this team just like
I'm just
Gerard
saying,
Mayo can't.
Okay, week, so week it's one, the same.
Right.
So you just would take back the week one.
What they did in week
left.
One. What they did in week one was unlike anything they did last year. But it was a totally different team.
But it was a massive DTs. Like it
yeah,
was.
Yeah, that's
was,
all. Of course. Was, but how did was, you watch week one and not see was, what you saw and say, "Oh my God"?
But that was the Bengals team. Like week one is useless.
Right.
Believe me, I was excited about it. I was worried about my under 4.5 wins bet. But I'm not worried about it now.
No.
Sadly, I'm not worried about it now.
Yeah,
I mean, You keep Jacoby Brissett in. How many games do you think they win this season?
Jesus.
Huh?
Yeah.
Three?
They could win this week.
They
could.
Yeah, they could. I mean, anything's possible.
No, I know, but I think that this
But one... I wouldn't bet they will.
But right, this week?
Yeah. So, I mean, I look at it like this. My expectation, like, I'm not mad that they lost. Like, my expectations going to the season were they weren't going to be very good. They had a lot of young players that they were going to be depending on and counting on. I didn't know what to expect from them.
Did you think they were going to be the worst team in the NFL? If they are, which I think they probably are.
No.
Did you think they were going to be the worst team in the NFL?
The prognosticators did. They had the lowest win total preseason.
Yeah, I thought their defense was going to be better.
They were underdogs in every single game.
Right.
And everybody was like, oh, well, that's ridiculous. They're going to win. They're not going to win football games. They're not.
What you've seen, and just to put a bow on last year, this year, Bill week one, they've been 1-3 after their first four games for four consecutive years. There was one person that was part of the triumvirate that elevated those around them and improved the roster by his very presence.
Yeah.
It was not the owner, and it was not the last head coach. It was the quarterback.
And we're going to hear from him during They Said It in a moment.
Literally. I thought their defense would be better. I thought they were going to be...
The defense was not good yesterday.
No.
You thought you could rely on that, and you could. I mean, I don't know. The defense wasn't that great. Hindsight 2020, that great against the Jets.
Brock Purdy did not look irrelevant against this defense.
No, Brock Purdy did not look irrelevant.
Yeah, but if this is a team that has a beating heart, you get exposed by that. I thought Brock Purdy did not play great yesterday.
Yeah, he was okay.
I thought he looked not bad.
Guys running down the field, he hit some wide open, like, okay.
But I'm talking about himself. He took the ball and ran for first down a few times.
If you switch quarterbacks, what's the outcome of that game? 49ers still win going away.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, all day.
They don't win going away. Jacoby Brissett, he can't throw more than 10 yards down the field.
Well, they win the football game. They win the football game, yes. Yeah. I mean, Brock Purdy didn't do anything where you go, oh, this kid's a top 10 quarterback in the league. He didn't do anything like that. My expectations with this team, I thought their defense would be better. I thought they would overall be better. And then after week one, I was like, oh, okay. You know, they did tease us a little bit. But I was kind of on the expectation train of, I was agreeing with you, Greg, where I didn't think they would be able to go over 4.5 wins. What upsets me the most about this team is that I don't get to see the number 3 overall pick. I know your teams, you got young wide receivers. Jalen Polk makes a great catch down the sideline. You got Pop Douglas. You got Javon Baker. You have
Pop Douglas would have made a great catch if your quarterback saw him wide open.
Right.
Yes.
But all I'm saying is you have
a couple of times.
You have young wide receivers, and you don't know what they could be because you have no clue of. You know your quarterback can't get the job done. So I don't know what these wide receivers could be. I don't know if Jalen Polk could be like a Malik Nabers.
All right. Well, there's a lot to talk about this morning, and we will do that with you. If you want to be on, the number to call is 617-779-7937. If you prefer to text, you can text on the Subaru of New England text line, which is 37937. Find your authorized Subaru retailer at SubaruofNewEngland.com.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They
want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up to Del Bambino and have me face him. Maybe I'll grill him in the eye.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
All right, time for a quick back and forth on what they said over the weekend in sports. Where do you want to start this morning, Shine?
Well, Greg, at the beginning of the show, we talked about the Ian Rappaport report that Drake May was weeks away from hitting the field for the New England Patriots. Well, Phil Perry actually sings a bit of a different tune on what he's hearing from players on the team. Here is what Phil Perry said about Drake May.
Well, I can tell you, I think his teammates feel like he's a little bit closer to being ready than whoever spoke to Ian Rappaport today. That's an interesting report to me in that I think the Patriots are speaking with their actions more so even than their words by just having Drake May as a backup quarterback. This guy's one snap away from being on the field and taking meaningful snaps. What players have told me is that it's not necessarily the physical stuff that's impressed them most. It's the fact that he's playing on time and in rhythm, both within the structure of the Patriots offense, when he's given 30% of the first team reps in practice, and within the structure of opposing offenses, when he's running the show team. He's handling the huddle with much more confidence. He's putting in extra work with starting receivers after practice. All of these things have, over the last few weeks, allowed his teammates, in my opinion, to have a lot more faith in his ability whenever he ends up getting the call.
I mean, we talked about this a little bit
last. Was that the Blue Man Group in the back?
I don't know. What that,
we it was talked the high school band.
We talked a little bit about this last week. Are you doing Jacoby Brissett a disservice by only giving him 70% of the reps when it comes to the week. I mean, are you putting him in a position to fail when he really needs those reps?
No. Well, yeah, you're not helping him out. But I would say this is just like, who was that, Phil Perry said about on time, getting the ball out. If your starter's not doing that, what's the difference if the backup can't do it? Like, if the starter was performing well, or you were going, okay, I see what he's giving us that makes it a little difficult for us to put the young kid in because he's going to the right place. He's on time. He's making the throws. But when your starting quarterback isn't giving you – when you're the worst in the league when it comes to passing, you're one of the worst teams in the leagues when it comes to scoring points, you're one of the worst teams in the league in total offense, and your quarterback isn't doing anything and he's supposed to be the veteran.
Well, yeah, I mean, the argument for him was basically that he wasn't turning the ball over. That went away yesterday.
Right.
So
when you have as many touchdown passes for the other team as you do for your team through 4 weeks,
yeah,
probably not a good sign.
Yeah.
I would also add, this is so clear to me. Phil Perry, Gerard Mayo sourced. Tom Curran, Ian Rappaport, Robert Kraft sourced.
Yeah.
That's what's going on.
It also doesn't sound like a guy who we should be worried about getting ruined mentally or not being able to handle game pressure mentally, because that whole description of him is that he's very cool under pressure, that he can handle it all. So,
well, Courtney, you said this all the time, and you're 150% spot on.
Ooh.
If a guy can get ruined mentally from playing in the NFL, like, you weren't meant to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's, like, spot on. Like, you weren't meant to be there. How do you – if you make a couple bad plays and you're not able to get over that,
right,
you're not meant to be at that level. So it doesn't matter who the hell your coach is.
Mm.
Because if you can't get over bad plays where people go, he's going to get ruined mentally, then you weren't meant to be there. It's how do you handle that adversity.
I think Sam Darnold is a great example of that, right?
Exactly.
Look where he's at right now. Different coaching, different organization. Mm-hmm. And
but look at that roster. Justin Jefferson, highest paid receiver or one of them in the NFL.
Yep.
An elite, elite weapon that is able to elevate a quarterback that is learning the new system.
What's next, Shy?
Well, we can actually hear from Jacoby Brissett postgame yesterday on what his message was to the team going forward.
To be hopeful. When we started this climb, we never thought it was going to be just, you know, you're on the escalator, you're just going up automatically. You know, we knew we were going to be bumps in the road. You know, we were going to get knocked down and be tired and be hurt. And, you know, I mean, that doesn't stop the climb. It just puts a little adversity in the climb. As much as we can hold our head, it's nobody's going to come and save us to pick our head up for us. You know, we got to do it ourselves. And that's the best part about being in this league and being early in the season, because you have not a lot of time, but you got time to pick yourself up, you know, and, you know, lick your wounds and go back to work, because, you know, you got another week next week.
Well, he's going to have a lot of licking to do. I mean, he's
save that.
Every time he gets up, I'm shocked. I'm shocked that
he gets up quick though.
All right. What else, Shime?
Well, we played on They Said It not too long ago, Baker Mayfield's comments about Tom Brady and the stress that he created within the Tampa Bay Buccaneers locker room.
Vibe down there. It was a bad vibe. The guys didn't like it.
The rings didn't have enough diamonds after the Super Bowl.
Well, Curtis, it's funny you bring that up, because Tom Brady clapped back on the broadcast yesterday on Fox. Here was Tom and Kevin Burkhardt talking back and forth about the Baker Mayfield comments.
Our guy here said, quote, "They wanted me to come in, be myself, bring the joy back to football for guys who weren't having as much fun." It's funny because you've made this environment for me very stressful up here in the booth, so I understand where he's coming from.
Do you feel it?
No.
Feel the stress?
No.
Well, I was going to say, I thought stressful was not having Super Bowl rings. So there was a mindset of a champion that I took to work every day. This wasn't daycare. If I wanted to have fun, I was going to go to Disneyland with my kids.
Yeah, so, you know, as you were saying, go ahead. That's you feel like, I feel like there's more in there to say.
There's a way to approach this game.
Yeah.
And it's that with the right mindset, and try to push each other outside of our comfort zone. And great teammates do that. You come in, I have someone like Gronkowski, I have someone like Evans. There's high expectations for us. We got to make sure we go out there and deliver.
Ooh, shots fired, boop, boop.
There you go.
He's right, though.
Yeah,
totally.
I mean, he's right.
And you could do it that way, where you can, you know, be on guys' backs. And Brady was able to do that. And he was able to do that because, obviously, he had one. But, you know, you see his style, and you could do it the other way. Like Mahomes' way, I don't think, you know, but the biggest thing Brady said is we want to have a championship-level mindset. See, Baker Mayfield comes in and like, oh, let's have some fun, but you don't have a championship-level mindset.
Yeah. You don't think Patrick Mahomes does, though?
I mean,
I think he does.
I think their styles are different.
Yeah, the style.
I don't think Mahomes is going over there. We've seen Brady, like, undress guys, and we heard Billy O talk about the Tyquan Underwood thing. I think Mahomes is a little bit more, I would say,
deferential,
kid glove friendly, where, you know, Brady got to a point where he was like, and yeah. Not everybody could play that way, but it's still the championship mindset. Baker Mayfield is like, you can still be easy on guys, but he don't have that championship mindset.
I love also that Baker Mayfield now says he was taken out of context. And that was a story for 2 weeks, and he's only now taken out of context because Brady dunked on him.
What else? Anything else, Sean?
Yeah, one more for you here, Greg. I know Curtis was reveling in the Jets' loss to Bo Nix and the Broncos yesterday in the rain.
Oh, I thought I was so wrong about the Jets, Curtis, you idiot.
Well, after the game, Aaron Rodgers went back and discussed with the reporter comments that Robert Saleh made about needing to change the cadence because a couple guys were jumping off sides. Rodgers didn't seem very happy about that.
The cadence specifically, Robert said, that might be something you guys have to dial back a little bit. Is that something you think could potentially help the situation?
It's one way to do it. The other way is hold them accountable. I mean, we haven't had an issue. We've had one false start. Morgan had one false start, I believe, until this. So it's been a weapon. We use it every day in practice. We don't, you know, we rarely have a false start. And to have, I don't know, five today, it seemed like, four or five. Yeah, it seems like an outlier. I don't know if we need to make mass changes based on, you know, kind of an outlier game.
There you go. But it has been a weapon for him. He's always been like that. Oh. That's why Belichick's going to be there next year.
That's what could be.
Philly. But I don't know what the line is for Vikings-Jets Sunday at 9 a.m. The Jets are going to lose, and it's going to be a disaster. I cannot wait.
That line is currently Vikings by 2.5, Curtis.
Oh, jump on that.
Yeah. It's a good Vikings football team. Really good Vikings.
And it's the revenge game. Darnold against his whole team.
Yeah. And you already could tell that Aaron Rodgers and Saleh, the head coach, they are not on the same page. Rodgers cannot
get worse and
he
worse.
He can't
too.
Stand him.
Yeah.
I won't be surprised if it continues to get worse if Rodgers don't go to Woody Johnson and be like, man, get this dude up out of here.
Middle of the season?
Middle of the season.
I wouldn't put it. I'm not even.
Promote Nate Hackett?
I'm not kidding. Right. I wouldn't put it past Rodgers to tank a game to get his coach fired.
Wow.
Because does he want to lose his last couple of years?
Yeah.
That's
right.
Beans?
That's they said it. Quick back and forth on what they said yesterday and over the weekend in sports. Boomer Esiason joining us at 8. Probably means we should get to the news at 8:20.
Perfect.
News at 8:20. And then Jerod Mayo at 9:30 from Gillette Stadium on a Mayo Monday. Here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. Oh, the house it's not burning down. There's ashes. That's all that's left, Curtis.
Yeah, the
ashes.
House is gone.
The house is gone. We are at Gillette Stadium, and it is a Patriots Monday. We'll talk to Boomer Esiason coming up in just about 10 minutes, and then Jerod Mayo with us at 9:30 this morning. This is Rich in Springfield. Hey, Rich.
Hey, Greg, when you said it, Richard in Springfield, I know Curtis just went, ugh, okay. Oh, man. Hey, listen, Courtney, it's popcorn, not popcorn.
It's my accent. Apologies. Yeah. It's never going to change. They're in 2 years.
Yeah.
Popcorn.
Hey, shout out to Jackson. He's the man. Hey, listen, Greg, there is a big difference between prime rib and ribeye, just to let you know. And I can't stand a prime rib, but I do love a ribeye.
Yeah,
and there is a difference.
I've been wrong. I've been off on a couple food takes lately. So I'm going to stick this morning on a Patriots Monday. I'm going to stick to football.
There you go.
What about Cotto, Sean? Cotto. Oh, Cotto's not there. Oh. We have a result from a poll this morning.
Ooh. I think Courtney has that.
And so that question, which Wiggy continues to ask and will ask of Jerod Mayo when he gets in here at 9:30 is?
Yeah, is it time for the Patriots to start Drake May? We thought this would be a landslide for the yes vote. We are sitting at 52.2% yes.
Ah, okay.
So very split when people are going back and forth. And we have a lot of votes in already. So
how many?
We have 550 votes.
Okay. That's a pretty good sample size. Yeah, so
people want them.
Huh?
People want them.
Well,
they really don't. No, it's about even.
It's half.
It's exactly even. So people don't want them.
I would say the nation's divided.
I would say.
You said 52%.
Yeah, 52%.
So is that half or more than half?
It's a tiny little bit. Statistically, it's
I didn't ask that. Is it half or more than half?
Statistically, it's half. That's not surprising to you?
I'm shocked by that.
I
thought it was going to be like 80-20.
Well, I think people are buying in to the potential for him to be hurt.
Yep.
And how bad the line is.
Do people not challenge anything? Like, out loud. It doesn't make sense.
Nope. That's because they're sheep, and they buy all these experts. They buy the
Wiggy. It's a lot of experts.
Only like one expert counts. Matt Ryan,
Jermaine Wiggins,
Matty Ice is the only one that counts.
He's really good, by the way, on CBS.
Matt Ryan.
Yeah, I like him.
Yeah, it's the concern that you're going to somehow ruin him.
What's the point of having a backup then?
Yeah.
Because if Jacoby goes out, and so you're just, as long as Jacoby Brissett isn't hurt, you're just going to keep going with him despite losing every week.
And Courtney, and that's what has me running hot when all these experts speak. And even like some of my former brethren that played in the NFL that always go to, oh, he's going to get hurt. He's going to get killed.
So you're talking about Tom Brady.
Yep.
Gronk.
Yep.
Rob Ninkovich.
Yep.
Boomer Esiason.
Yep.
I would take Tom Brady off that list. He says they dumb it down, and he doesn't like it. But the way the world is, the guys play now because the offenses have been dumbed down.
Well, even if they've been dumbed down, then that means it shouldn't be that difficult for him. Greg, the reason why I say those guys is because they can't give me any other reason other than he's going to get hurt.
Well, they believe that they have those two reasons are legit reasons why you wait.
Let's wait and get him hurt at the end of the year so he can't play next year.
Right.
It's so stupid. Right, the whole thing is so dumb. Right. The team is unwatchable.
Right,
change the quarterback.
Right. It's when I say to them, well, even when Gronk said it, play him week 12. What's the difference between week 5 and week 12 as far as physicality?
We'll be more banged up in week 12 right now.
Do they think the line gets better by then?
Yeah, usually by the end of the year, the line's a lot healthier than it is in week 5.
You know what it is, Greg? Here's what it is they can't give you a good reason other than he gets hurt. That's the reason why that's the only reason why they say he shouldn't be playing, because when you push them on it, they can't give you another reason. They go, yeah, you know what? Yeah, I get what you're saying, Wiggy. You're probably right about the situation, but you don't want him to get hurt.
And here's where the issue is, Greg, because let's say May doesn't play at all this year, right?
Yep.
He plays at the end, but you don't know what he is. But you stick with him next year. And next year, Shedeur Sanders goes in a place where the Patriots could take him, or name quarterback X. And that guy turns out to be a great player. So not only did you take the wrong guy in Drake May, in your inability to see what you had in his rookie year, you were unable to get the Kyler Murray to your Josh Rosen, and now the rebuild's another 6 years down the line.
Or you go, guess what? Drake May, it looks pretty good. Let's get him an elite wide receiver with our top three pick. Let's get an offensive lineman in free agency, and now we can really go based on, because what we've seen for the time that he played, he's shown us like, oh, this kid can play. It's very similar to Josh Allen. He just needs to have some pieces put around him. That's what you get from playing him.
This is Paul from New Hampshire. Hey, Paul.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. How are y'all doing?
What's up, Paul?
Hey, so listen, I'm going to hang my hat on this. I've been a Patriots fan since I was 7 years old. That was 52 years ago. I've been through Steve Grogan wearing a neck brace, Jim Plunkett fiasco. I've been humiliated. Remember that guy? And I think their plan all along was Drake May in week 5. I really do. Belichick used to say the first 4 games of the season are just an extension of preseason.
Well, that's
what
he started
part of the Belichick tree. Yeah. He really is.
So listen then.
I'm hanging my hat there.
Okay, you didn't hear that from Jerod Mayo last night. Maybe you'll hear that from him this morning. I fingers crossed. He said last night that Jacoby Brissett is your quarterback at the moment or whatever he said. So, but we'll ask him. And we'll ask Boomer Esiason. Maybe Boomer's opinion has changed. So we will get to Boomer Esiason coming up next. It is a Patriots Monday, a Mayo Monday here at WEEI.